Rather strange language, and we need to spend a few minutes here. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Here's the admonition, the exhortation to the brethren, to men, young and older alike. What does he say? Watch ye. Watch ye. Pay close attention. You know how easy it is when we're young, especially as teenagers. You know how easy it is to just kind of go through the day really in oblivious to your surroundings. It's pretty easy to do that. Young men, young women, both. Just without really any awareness of the world around you. You know, you're just kind of caught up in your own little world. Nah, that's understandable. That's natural, I suppose. But it just because it's natural doesn't mean that it's good. Watch ye. Young men, you older brethren, you can be such a huge influence in the lives of the young men around you, whether they're your children or grandchildren or those in the church or wherever. By showing this the way you talk, isn't it a joy? Brethren, have you had the experience from time to time of actually being in a conversation with a young man, a conversation that was actually meant something more than just sure is hot today, you know, how are the Braves doing, you know, and things like that. A conversation with a young man who obviously has been paying attention to the world around him. It's a joy to be able to do that. To talk to a young man whose interest goes beyond sports and girls, to be able to have some kind of meaningful conversation with him, it's a joy. Watch ye. Pay close attention to. It also means to be cautious. Be cautious. I think there's a good reason that we ought to teach our young men to be cautious. Because usually young men have the tendency to throw caution to the wind. I remember that. And you feel like you're indestructible. Watch ye. Pay attention. Be aware of what's going on around you. Be aware of the dangers. Because there are dangers out there. As you get a little bit older, words, an expression like this, watch ye, as you get a little bit older, it's going to carry this kind of meaning to it. As a husband especially, and as a father, but as a husband especially, watch ye is going to mean something like this. Be an active protector of. This has to do with protection. It is expected of men to be protectors. It's been that way since time began. It hasn't changed. That principle hasn't changed. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we spent some time on that phrase over there in Titus chapter 2 concerning the aged women teaching the younger women to be keepers at home. And we talked about how that had to do with kind of being a guard over the family. Like you're standing in the front door of the house and you are watching and monitoring and filtering those things which come in and go out of the family. That, in a sense, is a form of protection. But here is a little bit different with men, with husbands and fathers. You're to be an active protector. What does that mean, to be and I mean it that way, an active protector. You're not just sitting back, even if you're somewhat prepared, you're not just sitting back waiting to see what might come next, and then you deal with it when it takes place. So there's dangers out there. There's entities. There's the world around us. There's the culture. There's society that that sole intention is to attack the family. Fathers and husbands have the responsibility to protect the family. But not only in the sense of being prepared when those dangers come, but you're to be proactive. That's why you're to be cautious. That's why, young men, you're to be aware of what's going on around you. Husbands and fathers, you're to be aware of what's going on, not only obviously in your wife's life, but in the life of your children. You're to know the details so that you can be proactive, so that you can be prepared and head those dangers off before they reach the front door, before they get inside the family. You're a protector. And you're not just sitting back waiting for the danger to come to you. You're going out there and you're on the lookout. And you've got your binoculars, you've got your scope, you've got your whatever. You're actively engaged in protecting the family. Young man, you're going to be expected to do that one day. You need to be developing that now. Men, brethren, think of ways that you can show, demonstrate your children and your grandchildren how to be the protector that's going to be expected of them. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith, he says. Stand fast in the faith. Stand firm. Know what God's Word says and stand firm. Not only know what it says, but understand it. Understand it and stand firm in it. Be absolutely convinced that God's Word is truth. Absolute truth. Always has been, always will. And stand firm on that. No matter what everybody else says. No matter what and you will be in the minority. And strong leaders. Men as strong leaders are becoming fewer and fewer. And I don't know if it's accurate to say that strong male leaders are in the minority now or not. I don't know. But and sometimes it seems that way. You remember several weeks ago, and I'm talking to all of us now, but especially you young men and young women. Several weeks ago, I exhorted you, I encouraged you in this, and I said, raise your expectations. Raise your expectations. Raise your expectations of yourself. You can do that if you're walking in the strength of the Lord. If you're standing firm in His Word, you can not only raise your expectations of yourself, but you can reach those expectations. If you're standing firm, stand fast in the faith. Persevere. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be people around you that they're laughing at you, ridiculing you. Stand firm in the faith. Persevere. Persist. Don't give up. You're not walking in your strength. You're walking in the strength of the Lord. What else does he say? Quit you like men. Now, there's an unusual expression. Quit you like men. That doesn't even make sense, does it? In today's language, that just doesn't even make sense. Quit you like men. It's really a pretty simple definition. It has to do with being courageous. It has to do with being prepared for the battle. It has to do with bravery. And not only courage for the battle in the sense that if you actually had to physically protect your wife or your children, you know, from physical danger, but any other kind of danger. Be courageous. Be prepared for the battle. Be brave. No matter what the opposition is, no matter what the obstacles are, but also be courageous and seize the opportunities. There's three things that really this phrase has to do with. Well, let me back up and see if I can explain a little bit different. It has to do with courage and bravery You know, young man. You know, when you're a young man, when you're a young boy, you know, you've got these heroes. You've got these. I don't even know who all they are now, but you know, in earlier times it was, you know, Superman and Batman and action figures like that. You have these heroes, and you see them as, you know, always. What are they always doing? They're always doing right, and they get to the point. They're in the battle, and they're fighting, and they get to the point where you think, oh, this is it this time. They're done for. And all of a sudden, they come back stronger than ever, and they finally triumph. You know, you've got these heroes like that. That's what this phrase is talking about. Being courageous, no matter how strong the opposition. No matter the opposition, no matter the obstacles, and then being courageous to seize the opportunities. The opportunities. There's probably a lot more that we ought to say about that. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. And then he says, be strong. Be strong. Be strong in the faith. Be strong. Be a strong leader. Husbands, now, fathers, we've got a lot of work to do. Not only teaching our young men, our children and grandchildren, but teaching our young women. Fathers, husbands, you that have daughters, young women that are here this morning, there's nothing wrong with setting your standards high. Young ladies, you need to set your standards high when it comes to that young man that's trying to gain your attention. Set your standards high. Now, I'm not trying to encourage you to be judgmental and throw off on some, you know, somebody and don't think that they're good enough for you. Not talking about that. But I am talking about certain characteristics, certain attributes that you ought to expect. Young men, these are the characteristics and attributes that are going to be expected of you as a leader in the home, as a leader in the family. Very quickly, I want to go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Young men, it's... And brethren, you older men, it's okay that we are vulnerable in some areas. It's okay that we're not perfect, okay? We want the lady in our life, and we want our children, we want, you know, people around us to think that we've got it all. You know, that we're the ideal husband or we're the ideal father. And we're not. We're not perfect. Well, we won't get that to that point. But there are certainly the need for us to strive, to continually improve in one area or another. It's okay that, even as a young man, that somebody else might see some weakness in you, some weakness in some area. In Scripture, we're told several different times, Old and New Testament, that meekness is a good quality. That meekness is a good quality. And what meekness has to do with is not weakness, but it is recognizing your weakness, wherever that weakness might be, And confessing it, especially to the Lord, and asking Him to strengthen you. And if He doesn't strengthen you and help you to improve in that weakness, then help you to depend on Him, which we need to be doing anyway. It's recognizing our weakness and depending on the strength of the Lord. That's what meekness is. It's okay to recognize that we have some weakness in our lives. In chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, verse 8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Chapter 2, verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Brethren, it's okay to let it be seen, and I don't mean for show, but oftentimes we try to cover up our weakness or our emotions. Oftentimes we try to cover up our emotions. If we're down, if we're depressed, if we're sad, if we're disturbed or whatever it might be, we don't like for people around us, especially our wives and our children, to see that kind of weakness in us. But it's okay, because it's a good opportunity, it's a good time to show our wives and our children that, yes, I have this weakness, or this issue is greatly disturbing, and I seem to be out of control or helpless in trying to overcome this issue, and I want you to see that I'm asking the Lord to help me with this. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, in all circumstances. Men, it's okay to confess your faults to your wife and to your children, and see, and let them see you confessing that to the Lord and asking God to strengthen you. It's okay to see that. It's not weakness. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere. I want to come back to that maybe some other time. Very quickly, young men, you may be leaders in the church. You will be expected to be leaders in your home, and we need more leaders in the church. And it's never too early to begin to develop that kind of leadership. Give me just a couple of more minutes here. Listen to me carefully. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see about half of that chapter that Paul is dealing with bishops, ministers, elders, the ministry. Young men, some of you young men here today, who knows? You may be called of God one day to step into the ministry. And all of you, every one of you is probably thinking right now, no way. Ain't no way. That is never going to happen. Yeah, I said that one day too. I said that for a long time. We don't know whether you are or not, though. As men in the church, you are expected to be leaders. Look at these characteristics that's expected. About the first half of the chapter has to do with the ministry. The next half of this chapter has to do with deacons. A good possibility that you will be going into some kind of leadership position in the church. Look at some of those things. Verse 2 talks about being vigilant, sober, good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. All of these things. He says patient, not a brawler. For the deacons, he says something very similar. Down in verse 8, they're to be grave, not double-tongued. Verse 9 says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Now, you can go into details in all of these things, but what I want to encourage you to do is look at this. And fathers, husbands, brethren, fathers and grandfathers, take the opportunity, make the opportunity to sit down with some young man in your family or in the church when you have that opportunity and talk about some of these things. Tell them, young brother, you're going to be expected to take my place one day. Some of you deacons are talking about, you know, y'all talk about the need for some deacons to develop and come along, and it's true. Your place will need to be taken by someone younger one of these years. Encourage these young men. Encourage the young men among us to begin understanding the roles of this leadership position in the church and what will be expected of them in those roles. The need for leadership in our families and in our church is grave, very grave indeed. Fathers and husbands, we have a great responsibility. Men, young and old alike, we have a great responsibility. Pray for one another that we would take these responsibilities seriously so that maybe we can make a difference in the direction that the family in our world today seems to be taking. And hopefully, if we can make a difference there, we can make a difference in our churches. And hopefully then we can make a difference in our communities. Hopefully one day we'll be able to make a difference in the direction that our nation is going. But it starts with us, each one of us individually.